couple weeks ago, I was preaching, and one of the brothers came up to me afterwards and asked me how I was doing. He could see things were on my mind. They were on my mind. And as you all know, I have a tough time hiding things, positive or negative. And it touched me that the brother noticed that. And I was reflecting this morning, I was thinking, you know, feeling really good this week. And I started thinking, okay, loved ones have been traveling, they're back, my prayers have been answered for that. It's good to be able to come to worship. Unresolved issues at work have kind of worked through, I've been able to work through some of those. And I was kind of grasping, why are things better? And then I told Beth yesterday that I read more scripture this week than I could remember in a week in years. God's Word, as our brother talked about in this sermon, God's Word, we need to make time to read God's Word, and it will help everything. It helps everything. And that's one positive from this week that I learned. We had a really good Bible study at the house Friday. We had a really good Bible study this morning. And it's been very encouraging. The prayers and the songs have been very encouraging. And hopefully the lesson will be adding on to that. This is part three of Attitudes of a Christian. We've looked at a number of attitudes to this point, and we're kind of building. I plan to have, Lord willing, part four next time. But parts one and two, we've talked about these attitudes of a Christian and kind of borrowing, you know, Brother Gordo's little, you know, little cloud thing on his blackboard. This is my imitation of that, Gordo, is looking at attitudes, and then we're looking at all the things that feed into it. And then I noticed Daniel brought the card up here last week. Another innovation. I'm borrowing that too. So I'm learning from you, brothers. But when we look at these attitudes, a lot of them overlap. A lot of them overlap. They don't stand necessarily on their own. They're dependent on one another a lot of times. But all these attitudes are the attitudes that we Christians, we've studied. They should be a part of our everyday life. And if they're not, we need to work on that. And this morning we're going to build on this a little bit. And the next attitudes we're going to talk about are patient and long-suffering. Patient and long-suffering. We've got some scriptures to read. I don't have them written down on the PowerPoint. I want you to turn to them. If you don't have a Bible, grab one. Let's read what God has to say to us. That's what, when we read God's Word, that's really what we're doing. We're reading what God has to say to us, and that's really important. And it's something we need to make a part of our life as well. So patient and long-suffering. Romans 2 and verse 7. Romans 2 and verse 7. Eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good seek for glory, honor, and immortality. Eternal life to those who by patient continuance... Patient continuance. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Starting in verse 1. We're going to read through verse 10. We then, as workers together with him, also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. We give no offense in anything, that our ministry may not be blamed, but in all things we commend ourselves as ministers of God, in much patience, in tribulation, in needs, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in sleeplessness, in fastings, by purity, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Spirit, by sincere love, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and yet not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. This is a reading that I haven't spent much time reading this passage, but it's a powerful passage. Puts together a lot of the things we've been talking about. And here Paul is talking about what he and other apostles and disciples go through. And notice verse 4, in much patience. And some translations will have their much endurance in tribulations and needs. And then you drop down. We see in verse 6, by purity, by knowledge, by long-suffering. There's that patience and long-suffering. They're dealing with all sorts of things. And when you look at what they've dealt with, verse 8, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well-known, as dying, and behold we live, as chastened, and yet not yet killed, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, and yet possessing all things. If you go down that list, what you'll see is the world's perception is on one side, and then how God perceives them is on the other. It's a wonderful, wonderful contrast. And when you look at this study, And he talks about all, you know, the world sees us as dying, but we live. In Christ we live. You know, the world looks at us as being deceitful, but we're true. You know, do you ever feel like that in the world? People have the wrong take on you, and they'll say something that is just totally out of character. They'll accuse you of that or say that you're like that. And it's totally opposite. Well, the apostles, Apostle Paul, he dealt with that. You know, it's part of being patient and long-suffering. And in this case, patient and long-suffering in God's plan for us. Sometimes things don't go exactly the way we want. Just keep going. Keep going. Galatians chapter 5, we see that patience is part of the fruits of the Spirit. Patience and long-suffering. I'll show you something in verse 22 of Galatians 5. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. In the English Standard Version, that's translated patience. So long-suffering, patience, really, they go hand in hand. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. And with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Here we see this idea of working together for the Lord's cause. And notice, with long-suffering, again, the English Standard Version translates that patience. So patience and long-suffering is part of what we ought to be about. Colossians chapter 1. Starting in verse 8, we'll go through verse 14. Who also declared to us your love in the Spirit. For this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. You see how part of their life, that Paul's reflecting on and praising and thanking the Colossians for is their patience and long-suffering with joy. It's one thing to be patient and long-suffering when things aren't going your way, but to do it joyfully, that's the goal. That's the goal. Here, Paul is praising them for doing that. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 14. It says, "Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all." Be patient with all. 2 Timothy chapter 3, starting in verse 10, and we'll go through verse 12. "But you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering." Again, the English Standard Version translates that. "Patience, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. With what persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord delivered me. And yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution." Here Paul tells Timothy, you know what? I've went through a lot of things. And those who are following the Lord will go through a lot of things. But stick to it. He talks about how Timothy's followed his doctrine, his manner of life, his purpose in long-suffering. That's part of our life, is being long-suffering. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. Something I'd missed here. In this verse, "Preach the word," Paul's telling Timothy, "preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort, with all long-suffering." And in the English Standard Version, it says, "with complete patience." So this idea of preaching, you know, preaching patiently, with all patience. The idea is, don't get discouraged, don't get off track, don't get impatient, just continue to preach the word in season and out of season. And then 2 Timothy chapter 2, we'll go back a little bit here, and we'll start in verse 22 and read through verse 26. "Flee also youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will." Here we see a lot of really good, sound instruction to Timothy. It tells him to flee youthful lusts. And instead of youthful lusts, pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace, and do that with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. And then he talks about in verse 24 how a servant of the Lord shouldn't quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient. We need to be patient. Even in our preaching, we need to be patient. And all these verses, we have, you know, we can look at our Bibles from front to back, and it's very easy to see the long-suffering and patience that God has with mankind. You can see that. It's throughout the Bible. And it's easy to understand that. But what we've just read is how Christians are to be long-suffering and patient. We're to be like God in that way in our daily lives. And sometimes that's a challenge. And sometimes it seems to be a challenge with those we're closest to. I don't know why that is. Maybe we expect more of them than we do others. Maybe we're just not as patient as we should be. But in the last reading, you'll see that Paul reminds Timothy, being patient and long-suffering can lead to helping others escape the snare of the devil. For patient and long-suffering, we might help somebody escape the snare of the devil. And you know what? That's what it's all about, isn't it? Because if we can escape the devil, that means we're on the right path with the Lord. So some good things from being patient and long-suffering. Compassionate, tender-hearted, and kind. 1 Peter. This attribute should be a part of us. And we already read some verses that mention this. And like I said, a lot of these things overlap. But notice 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 and 9. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 and 9. And this whole context in this chapter is something that just a few months ago, I tied it in with some things that I figured out what it was tied into, and I hadn't seen it before, so it's really that's really cool. But verse 8 and 9, finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers. You know, that's something that we have here. We call each other brothers and sisters. And we may do it out of a lot of reasons. Maybe we do it out of habit. But you know, you want to see an interesting reaction? If we see each other in a public place, like happened yesterday, and it was really a positive thing. We got to see the Youngs at Cracker Barrel, that was wonderful to see them. But when you call each other brothers and sisters and other people can hear you, that's a little different. That's a little different. That shows this closeness we're to have, this compassion and tender-hearted behavior toward one another we're to have. Verse 9, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. Being compassionate and kind and tender-hearted. That's what we are all about. That's what we should be all about. And when we fall short, we need to keep working on that. Because the world, a lot of times isn't compassionate. They aren't tender-hearted. And they're not kind. And when that creeps into our lives, we need to nip it in the bud. We need to remember what we're all about. Luke 6, verse 35. Luke 6, verse 35. This is Luke's account of the Sermon on the Mount. Luke 6, 35. Jesus says, but love your enemies. Do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return. And your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High. Notice what God is. For He is kind to the unthankful and evil. See, what does the world say to people who are unthankful and evil? I said, well, they deserve that. God is kind to them. He's kind to them. And we need to love our enemies. And that's a challenge. I'll admit that's a very hard challenge, but that's what we're to do as Christians. Ephesians 4:32. Ephesians 4:32. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. We need to be kind, tender-hearted, and forgiving of one another. That's just part of what we are. I've got some information here I want to share that I found in looking at these words. The words that are translated, kind, if you look up a really cool thing, and I think Brian turned me on to this a long time ago, is the blue letter Greek lexicon that you can find online. It's really a cool tool. I was showing Samantha this the other day. But in this, it defines the Greek word for kind as fit for use, useful, virtuous, good, manageable, mild, pleasant, kind, benevolent. Boy, that's a whole lot of things defining one word that's translated kind. It doesn't really, when we translate it kind, it doesn't really quite get the job done for all the things that word encompasses. Fit for use, useful, virtuous, good, manageable, mild, pleasant, kind, benevolent. That's all part of that word in the Greek. And the same word that you translate as kind, and I've got the two verses up there, is translated easy in Matthew 11:30. His yoke is easy. It's the same word. It's perfectly fit. It's It's good. It's ready for use. All these things are wrapped around that word. It's the yoke is perfect. And it's translated good as opposed to evil in 1 Corinthians 15:33. You know, and we can look at that real quick. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, "Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits." Okay, good habits. That's good habits is kind in the original Greek. It's the same word for kind as translated in these other passages. And then as the goodness of God in Romans 2, verse 4. Romans 2, verse 4. "Or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering?" There's that long-suffering again. "Not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance." Okay? The kindness of God could be put in there. In this whole thing. And when you take this full circle, you look at the word for tender-hearted, could be translated as having strong bowels or compassionate. And when you put it all together, put these words together, and this is kind of my take on looking at all these passages, it tells us that the Lord knows the yoke that each one of us is to bear is perfect for us. It's perfectly matched for us. That yoke includes showing kindness to an evil world. And that goodness will require us to have an attitude of compassion, kindness, and tenderheartedness, even to those who may not deserve it. People have the idea, well, I'll be good to you if you're good to me. No, that's not what this is talking about. This is being good to those even if they don't deserve it. And the best example in my life of a person who's had people do terrible things to her, and she responds to that person in tenderness and kindness and love, in spite of that, is my mother-in-law. She's taught me so much about that. She's had people do all sorts of things that hurt her deeply. But you know what? She always has a tender-hearted and kind attitude toward them. That's what we need to be like. We need to be like that. That's what this is all about, is being compassionate, tender-hearted, and kind, even when people don't deserve it. Then we're like Jesus. Then we're like the Father wants us to be. Our last attitude for this morning. Bold and confident. Bold and confident. Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4, verse 29 and through 31. "Now, Lord, look on their threats." Here Christians are being threatened and told to stop teaching the gospel. Here's their prayer. "Now look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness." Boldness needs to be a part of our attitude of a Christian. We need to be bold. And we need to be confident. And here we have brethren praying for that, and their prayer is answered in a very dramatic way. God will answer our prayers. When we need to be bold, we need to pray for boldness. And the Lord will give us what we need. Acts 26, let's look at an example of boldness. You want to see boldness? Let's look at an example of Paul. Acts 26, starting in verse 24. Acts 26, 24. "Now as he thus made his defense, Festus said with a loud voice, 'Paul, you are beside yourself. Much learning is driving you mad.'" Here Paul is preaching the truth. Festus is accusing him of being out of his mind. And notice how Paul responds. But he said, "I'm not mad, most noble Festus." Notice how there's something I want us to see is we need to remember we can be bold and confident while at the same time being patient, kind, and humble. We can do it. We can do it. Here, Paul's doing it right here. He said, I'm not mad, most noble Festus, but speak the words of truth and reason. For the king, before whom I also speak freely, knows these things, for I am convinced that none of these things escape his attention, since this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know that you do believe. Then Agrippa said to Paul, you almost persuade me to become a Christian. And Paul said, I would to God that not only you, but also all who hear me today might become both almost and altogether such as I am, except for these chains. You know, if you're not a Christian this morning, that's my hope, that anyone in this building that is not a Christian, just like Paul says, I hope that you become one as soon as possible. But notice the boldness. Along with the honor and respect, here we have Paul being bold with a king, with a king. Let's go to Acts 28, verses 30 and 31. Something I missed in a verse for a long time, and I just this study helped me find it. Acts 28, verse 30 and 31. Then Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own rented house and received all who came to him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching the things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence. In the English Standard Version, it says, with all boldness, no one forbidding him. Okay, here, preaching and teaching needs to be with confidence. It needs to be with boldness. And we need to do that. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 6 through 8. And this is very cool. So we are always confident. Okay, in the English Standard Version, it says, of good courage. Okay? So we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, again, in the English Standard Version, I'm reading from the New King James, in the English Standard Version, it says, we are of good courage. Yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Okay, here's the confidence and the good courage. We're always confident. We're always confident. You know, when we're following the Lord and we're doing what's right, we can be confident. When we lose our confidence, it's when we're not doing what we ought to be doing. It's not when we're not following the path we ought to be following. Chapter 10 of the same book, chapter 10 of 2 Corinthians, verses 1 and 2. 2 Corinthians 10, 1 and 2. Now I, Paul, myself, am pleading with you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am lowly among you, but being absent and bold toward you. But I beg you that when I am present, I may not be bold with that confidence by which I intend to be bold against some who think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. Here, and you have to get the context going on here, but he's hoping that there's some that he's not going to have to be as bold with as may be necessary. But notice he pleads by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, yet he's still bold. When it's necessary, Paul is bold. And that's the way we need to be. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Hebrews 4, verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Let us come boldly. When we ask God and we talk to God, we can be bold about that. It doesn't mean we're irreverent. It doesn't mean we don't show honor to God. No, but we can be bold. We can be confident that He's hearing us and He cares about us and He's going to give us what we need. We can be bold about that. Chapter 10 of Hebrews. Chapter 10 of Hebrews. Starting with verse 35. And here, the Hebrew writer is saying, therefore do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. Don't cast away your confidence. Don't cast away, for you have need of endurance, so that after you've done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe in the saving of the soul.
Let us not fall back. Let us not cast away our confidence. Let us steadfastly serve the Lord with boldness. Chapter 13 of Hebrews in verse 6. And our dear brother read this and had it up on the screen just a couple minutes ago. I want you to notice one part of this verse. So we may boldly, or in the English Standard Version, so we may confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? What a great verse to remember. What a great verse to remember. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. Now, I'm hoping to get to this verse in a few weeks. I'm not going to make a promise or a vow, but I'm hoping in our class on Wednesday, I learned that this morning, we need to be careful about that. Now, this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. Boldness and confidence in praying and knowing that God is going to provide for us. That should be a part of our attitude as Christian. We have that. We have that blessing that we can share with our friends that don't have it. What a blessing and comfort that is. When we talk about these two attitudes, boldness and confidence, we can see that Christians are to be very bold and confident about spreading the gospel in Jesus, the gospel of Jesus, and in approaching our Father in prayer. We can also see that we are expected to be bold and confident while also being patient, kind, and humble. We can do all of those. We saw the example of Paul, and that's what God expects of us. And in closing, we have a couple questions to answer. How about you who are Christians here this morning? Can you, with boldness and confidence, say that you are shining the attitudes of Jesus in your life? And we've talked about a number of them. We've talked about a number of these attitudes. Are you doing that? Am I doing that? I know there's things in here I'm doing probably pretty good on, and there's some that I'm not doing very well. And that's why we encourage each other. But how about you? How about you? Are you shining that light? Are you that seasoned salt that we're to be? Or have you lost your seasoning influence that Jesus talks about? Are you that light? Or are you putting your light under a bushel? That's what we need to do. As Christians, we need to evaluate ourselves and work on that. And if you're not a Christian this morning, if you haven't obeyed the Lord, if you haven't repented of your sin, if you haven't confessed that Jesus is the Son of God, if you haven't been immersed in the waters of baptism and washed away your sins, I want you to consider this. Do you feel confident if you were to face the Lord today? Do you feel confident about that? We've talked about confidence. We've talked about this. The fact is, you can leave this building confident that you're going to go to heaven. You can do that. We can help you in any situation, whatever it may be. If you need prayers or you need to be baptized to become a child of God, we can help you now as we stand and sing.